们，你们好，多谢你们与 Phil Hendry 先生一起飞行。我们现在正是在30,000米高空中飞翔。顺便告诉大家 Captain， 我们今晚的特别嘉宾是 Jack B. Chen 先生，还有一题的是 Fortune Cookie。 And now here's Phil。
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Obviously, there is something wrong with the way I'm speaking, and for those of you who are not with us, in the last half hour of my show last evening, I had Santa Claus in, and he was talking to the kids on a telephone. And at that time, following a commercial break, I really am a little bit stunned as to what happened, but he asked me if I believed in him, and I made a mistake. I said, first of all, I don't think I made a mistake. I said, I do believe in you, Santa Claus. He asked me, he said, no, do you really believe in me? Do you really believe in Santa Claus? And I said, yes, I do. And then he stopped me. He said, don't condescend. I want to know, do you really believe that I'm Santa Claus, or am I just some guy in a Santa Claus costume? And I said, well, I believe that you're a guy in a Santa Claus costume, because that was my honest feeling at the time. I was then assaulted by Santa. Mr. Claus assaulted me. I was struck several times in the face. Mike Schaefer, my producer, Mike Crozier, my engineer, who's not here this evening, were witness to this. And it took me by surprise. There's no doubt that it was a shocking event for me. And I know that turning your radio on this afternoon and hearing me here, I can tell you that I was physically damaged by Santa Claus, but I also, how do I put this delicately? He taught me a really good lesson about the meaning of Christmas. He taught me a lesson about the true meaning of Christmas, and that is that you've got to believe. You can never, ever, ever not believe in Santa Claus and in the magic that is Christmas. And I didn't know that at the time. Now I do. And we all come to our realizations in different ways. I know a lot of us come to our realization through some, maybe unfortunately, some tragedy in life. And some of us come to our realizations because we've undergone some life-changing event. In my case, I had to have Santa Claus, clock me, hit me and assault me in order for me to understand the true meaning of Christmas. My jaw was severely fractured, and I have a fractured cheekbone, and I also have broken nose as a result of the assault by Santa Claus, which commenced at about 6:49 last night and went for about 7 solid minutes. So you have to understand that for 7 minutes Santa Claus was kicking, literally stuffing out of me. And I recognize now that I have to have more faith. Now, I know many of you in the Los Angeles area are used to listening to Carell and Andrew at this particular time. Those of you listening in the Midwest and the East Coast and the Rocky Mountains, this is a show that you ordinarily would be listening to. I'm sorry. I didn't want it to go like this. I wanted this week to perhaps commence a little bit more smoothly. I brought Santa Claus on last night with the very best of intentions. It was not my intent to piss him off. It was not my intent to have the crap kicked out of me. It was certainly not my intent to be hospitalized last night in the emergency room so that I could not make it home to my wife and kids till about 10 o'clock last night. If you think I enjoy getting hit in the face, I don't. It's not the Fight Club. I didn't come in here with the full intent yesterday, get 12 stitches on my face. That was not my intention. So, The mistake that I made was I didn't believe hard enough. You may remember at the end of West Side Story where Tony says to Maria, I didn't believe hard enough. And that's what happened to me. I didn't believe hard enough. And I had my face pummeled with repeated left hands and right hands. Santa Claus bounced rights and lefts off of my face and off of my mouth. Because I didn't believe hard enough in the magic of Christmas and in the magic of Santa Claus. Are you going to have to listen to me for 3 hours talk like this? No, you do not. We are going to be throwing some tape up here after our first commercial break. So the Phil Hendry Show today will be on tape. I'm very sorry, and I certainly did not intend for the week to go like this. But I will tell you this, and I mean this very deeply. If I have to get my ass kicked to teach me better lessons about Christmas, then, man, I'll get my ass kicked every day. If that's what it takes for me to understand the magic of Christmas and to believe in the power and the magic, and yes, the majesty of Santa Claus, you know, then kick my ass each day with a baseball bat, maybe with a broom handle. You know, it took ghosts for Scrooge to believe in the magic of Christmas. For me, it took an ass-kicking by Santa Claus to believe in it. Scrooge got to have dreams of ghosts. Me, Santa Claus kicked my ass. He was pissed off. I don't blame him for being pissed off. I would be too. He came on the show, talked to the little children, asked me, do I believe in him? I go, well, I didn't know the guy was serious. I thought the guy was just, I said, well, yeah, I do. And he said, well, do you really? And I said, well, no, I don't really. I think you're just a guy in a suit. And that's when he started the ass kicking. And it went on for at least, how long did it go on for, Schaefer? About 8, 9 minutes? Talk about thin skin. And I'll tell you something else. Those black boots they wear, lead toes. They got those lead line. I mean, I'm telling you, those stormtrooper boots are very, very heavy. It felt bad with each toe sailing in my rib cage. I knew that I'd pissed off Santa Claus. Anyway, I'm here on the air today to tell you about that and to have you please believe in this magic of Christmas. Don't go through what I went through. Because I didn't believe in Christmas and the magic of Christmas, there's probably going to be some moderate plastic surgery that I will have to go through. And I know that doesn't mean anything to you, but I'm sorry. So coming back from our commercial break, we'll be on tape. Forgive me. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8666.
Show 1-800-449-8686. Yes, sir. Hi.
Hello.
Hello, yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't know if, who I'm talking to, but I'm just listening to
this is the station manager.
Yeah, I'm very sorry for what happened to Mr. Hendry. It's a terrible thing, but
okay. So in other words, your phone call is bullcrap, right?
My phone call?
Yeah. What do you mean you're sorry what happened to Mr. Hendry?
Pardon?
What does that mean? See, Mike, let me educate you. This guy's full of crap here, okay? He doesn't care about what happens to kids. He doesn't care about what happened to his little kids. Nothing. He starts off his phone call with, I'm very sorry with what happened to Mr. Hendry, okay? It's okay. It's all right. You think Santa Claus beat up Mr. Hendry?
No, but I think little kids riding along in the car with the parents now are hearing about Santa Claus.
Well, what are you sorry about Mr. Hendry? What are you saying you're sorry for what happened to Mr. Hendry?
He got beat up.
By who?
By some actor in a Santa suit.
By some actor in a Santa suit.
Right, but a little kid.
You believe that happened, right?
Pardon?
You believe that happened, right?
I just turned the radio on. I don't know if it happened or it didn't happen. All I know is a 5 or 6 year old riding in a car, hearing Santa Claus kicking the crap out of somebody.
Wait a second.
Come Christmas.
Wait a second. How do you know that 5 or 6 year olds heard Santa Claus kicking the crap out of somebody?
Because I was just over at a shopping mall, and some lady told me about it while your kid was crying. And I put the
See what I'm saying?
Right
this guy's full of crap. When you're screening what? These jackasses, okay, this guy's got nothing better to do today than to call up the show with his bull crap, okay?
Are you for real?
No, you're not. I am. You're not for real.
I'm not?
No, you don't care what happens to kids.
I don't?
No.
You're a moron.
Well, that may well be, sir.
Who are you? What is your name?
Who are you? What is your name?
Paul.
Huh?
My name is Paul. Now, who are you?
My name's Chris Kringle.
Chris Kringle?
Yeah.
Yeah, figures. You probably believe that, too.
Oh, so I see. So there isn't any Santa Claus. Is that it?
You can't be this stupid.
Is that what you're saying?
You can't really be this stupid.
You're telling me there's no Santa Claus. Is that what you're telling me?
And you're telling me that Santa Claus beat up Phil Hendry.
That's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you a guy in a suit beat up Phil Hendry.
A guy in a suit.
Yeah.
Why don't you make that clear? Because
well, okay.
Listening here
you're
Santa
the guy
Claus.
That believed it.
Pardon?
You're the guy that believed it.
I believed I saw a kid crying in a parking lot right now at the mall.
What's the kid crying for?
Because you and the people you work with are morons.
So in other words, you took it upon yourself to call a radio station that you didn't listen to or you didn't hear what was going on to make a complaint based upon...
I turn off as soon as Dr. Moore comes on, so I can't stand her either.
Okay, so based upon some kid crying in a parking lot, you called the radio station to make a complaint?
Exactly.
So you didn't hear what happened. You didn't hear what happened. You just called because of what the kid said to you.
No, I put it on. I heard Phil Hendry talking. And I feel very sorry for him. But I think it's got to be very clear whether he's talking about an actor playing Santa or he thinks Santa really hit him. Because that's what little kids are thinking.
And what if they are?
That says it all right there.
What says it? No.
You're right.
No, you listen to what Grandma listens to. You dial up the dial to KFI Junior. You go right on up the dial there, because I'm going to tell you, those guys have got the lion's share of 55-year-old-plus listeners. They win consistently. You go up the dial to KFI Junior, and you listen to those guys up there beating us consistently in 60-year-olds on up. If you're 106 and older, man, I'm telling you, they got the kind of radio you want right up the dial. And we just can't seem to make any inroads with all those folks up there who are near death and beyond. That guy, there's no possible way that that guy was standing in a parking lot, saw a kid crying, then turned on the radio, and then decided to take it upon himself to call up the radio station with a complaint. There's no way that that happened. That guy, because he's so deathly bored with what's going on at KFI Junior and the FM talk station, he decided to come on over here and listen to what we're doing. And then he decided to get in on the act. As Jimmy Durante used to say, everybody wants to get in on the act. But he doesn't care what happened to that little kid. He's just upset with the fact that he's doing what he's doing, and I get to do what I do. So what do you think, Mike, after hearing that guy's rap? Do you think that guy was standing in a parking lot talking to a kid crying and then decided to call the radio station? Is that what he told you? Did you believe that? I saw a kid crying in a parking lot, so I decided to turn on the radio and see what he was talking about. And now I'm going to call the radio station. So what was this guy? Is he a mall worker? Was he coming out of Starbucks? Is he getting off the early shift at Starbucks? I think that sounds very unlikely. If I'm right, tell me. I mean, if I'm wrong, tell me. I think it's very unlikely that a guy's going to be walking to his car, a little baby boy is crying, and he wants to know what the problem is. And the little kid tells him. And so he flips the radio on and in a moment of righteous indignation calls this station. Now the more you're thinking about it, the more you don't know. Honest to God, man. I may be wrong here. Where was the kid's mother? Why didn't the mother call? Or the father? Or had the kid driven himself to the mall and was sitting there with his head in his hands crying over this crap he was listening to on the radio? The mom told the kid why the kid was crying. So Robin Hood there decides he's going to call up. Is that the story? Seriously. You know what? I may have it all wrong, man. You know, my apologies. I find it very difficult to believe that that's exactly what transpired. That this guy got off the late shift at Bristol Farm stocking the milk, was walking out to his van. Kid's crying. The mother is trying to calm him. The mother tells a total stranger why her kid's crying. He gets on the phone and he calls my show. There's no way. Unless the world is stranger than I think it is. Unless people are goofier than I think they are. That's the kind of guy probably calls every talk show in town and is constantly trying to think of a good reason to call. You know, what input can I give the host that will give me credibility or have him pat me on the head and tell me that I'm a really great caller? Geez, I wish I had an original thought. I know. I'll help this crying kid out. I'll call up and if it happened. See, I don't know. I think it's an oddball scenario. I'll tell you what I think. I think you're right, and I'm just too jaded for my own good now. I'm being honest with you, man. I'm telling you that I think maybe I screwed up. I don't know. But it sounds out there. What do you think, Tony? Both these guys are shrugging their shoulders, looking at me like, you know, Phil, it could be that you're just a flaming asshole. Have you thought about that? Has that crossed your mind within the last few minutes? Could very well be, you know. It could be, Phil, that you are so jaded, so cynical, and so lacking of a sense of humor that nothing gets past you anymore. That could very well be, too. I don't know.
I don't know anymore. You want to hear my Al Pacino? We did it the other day. You like Carolina? You like San Francisco? I don't know anymore.
All right, we're going to come back with Margaret Gray and just a little tiny bit of
Margaret Journals.
She's going to be on here with us talking about a production that they're going to be mounting at Belmar Elementary School in Santa Monica of West Side Story. And this is an exciting moment for Margaret. We'll also have Steve Bozell on, resident of Corona on the Furby doll, coming up right here on the Phil Hendry Show. Our number 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
Bonjour et merci de voler des lignes aériennes de Phil Hendry. Nous contrôlerons d'une altitude de 30 000 pieds. D'ailleurs, Jerry Lewis. Ce soir, le vol comportera Poodle. Je devrais mentionner Dubi américain. Et maintenant, voici Phil.
It's invigorating and exciting, right?
It is, Phil. It's both of those experiences.
All right, we are up on the air, and it's the Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. And with us is Margaret Gray from Santa Monica. You're involved in a production of West Side Story at Belmar Elementary School. Now, the kids you're using, these are fourth and fifth graders?
Yes, Phil. These are 9- and 10-year-old children. And we're doing something very ambitious, but I'm very excited about it. I'm really very invigorated by this. And, you know, Phil, I've spent 25 years in journalism, and it's been a long time since I've actually walked the boards of a stage, both a theater stage or a sound stage, and I am so invigorated and so excited about this, and the help that we're getting is very, very much appreciated, and it's interesting because these are kids that really want to do well, Phil. And for me, it's really an exciting event.
Now, you're directing West Side Story for the kids, it's not a Christmas pageant, is it?
No, this is a third annual talent show that is put on by Belmar Elementary School in Santa Monica. It features a cast of some 100 fourth and fifth grade students from Belmar Elementary School. My son, Jason Jay, is in the cast. And some really talented kids. It's tough getting what you want out of them, but I'm really, really working with them. Phil, know, I don't know. It's just really invigorating.
Tell me a little bit about it. But you mentioned it's been over 25 years since you walked the, you know, since you walked the sound stages of Hollywood.
Well, still, I had mentioned on your program, and oh boy, we're going to get into some stuff that's a little bit painful here.
Well, let's go with it, okay? Because I know that before you were writing, you were acting, correct?
I was doing an awful lot in Hollywood in those days. I was doing Equity Waiver. I was doing commercials. And I was up for the part of Audra in Big Valley, 1967. I went in for a reading. I'm pretty sure that Richard Long liked me. I know Barbara Stanwyck loved me. But something happened, I don't know what, Phil, but that goddamn Linda Evans and her goddamn blonde hair...
Okay, can I... You need to...
I really apologize for the language, but the... You know, there goes Linda Evans with her GD blonde hair. You can read between the lines.
I understand. You were disappointed that you didn't get the part, huh?
But Linda Evans with the blonde hair and the blue eyes. So anyway, I didn't get that. That's when I married Frank, and I went into journalism, and I started writing about the media. And it's been very interesting, but I wanted to get back. Really wanted to sink my teeth into something special, Phil. I don't know what it was. I wanted to get back to doing something special on stage. Jason Jay had come home from school. He brought home the flyer for the talent show. I called up Vanessa Albrook, who is the assistant for the fourth and fifth graders. I said, Vanessa, I want to do something different. I want to try something. She said, all right, what do you want to do? I said, I really think the time is now for a reinterpretation of West Side Story, modern dance, the modern sensibility. We do have a gang problem, and we have had for a great, great long time. Wouldn't it be great to remount West Side Story? She said, Margaret, I've been doing this talent show for 4 years. This is the first time I've been really excited about something that someone has brought to me. I am really, really excited about that. And so we decided to mount West Side Story with a cast of 100 fourth and fifth graders. And we are working on it now. It is heaven and it is hell. It is all the things combined. I'm working with a young boy now who's playing the part of Tony.
All right, I need to interrupt you here for just a second, Margaret. You're saying that West Side Story is the production, and you're doing this with fourth and fifth graders, and you're really, it's an ambitious thing. I wanted to ask you how difficult it is to work with actors that young. These are 9 and 10-year-olds?
9 and 10-year-olds, yes. But let me tell you something, Phil. As performers, they need to be pushed. And as performers, they need to have a little bit of a gun put to their head. We are working with a little boy right now in the part of Tony. He's not giving me what I want. He's not giving me...
All right, how old is he?
He's 10. He's in the fifth grade. Tony is a mixture of ambition and degradation. Tony was a jet... He wants something more. He works in Doc's Candy Store, and yet he is still hooked to the Jets. There is a dichotomy. There is a torment of the soul, almost. There is a little bit of racism in that he wants to be a Jet and beat up on the PRs, and yet he has fallen in love with this Puerto Rican girl. So the internal turmoil of Tony, I guess it's the perennial, it's the timeless conflict. I need to see more of that. My vision for West Side Story is contemporaneous. And my vision for West Side Story is rooted in the real turmoil of modern man. Now, this young boy, Jonathan Barnard, he's 10 years old. He's not giving it to me. And every day at rehearsal, I say, let's go, Jonathan. Where are you now? Where are you now? He'll say, well, Mrs. Gray, I'm really scared, and I have to go to the bathroom and something. Live that. Live it. He doesn't understand what I'm saying.
Well, you're getting into some, you're getting into some, what do you call that, method?
Well, it's not really. really method. It's Stanislavski. It is going moment to moment. I need that. I've got to have it. And
well, let me interrupt and ask a question here. You're dealing with a 10-year-old boy, and you're talking about West Side Story, which not only has a complicated book, if I may say, you know, the story itself, but there is the choreography of the dance. There are a number of numbers.
Look, Phil, if you don't do it now, when? If not now, when? If not us, who? West Side Story is an important piece. And just because they're 9 and 10 years of age doesn't mean that we're going to let them skate or I'm going to ease up on them because all of a sudden, you understand what I'm saying, Phil? In other words...
Well, I do understand what you're saying, but I'm also saying to you, at the age of 9 and 10, well, let's just take this little boy. You say his name's Jonathan?
Jonathan Barnard, yes.
All right, let's say Jonathan is 10 years of age. You got him playing the pivotal central role of Tony in West Side Story. Here's a kid who wants to escape the gang. He is working in Doc's Candy Store. He wants something bigger. He wants something better. Isn't there the song,
Yes, the song could be... Who knows? There's something good, something bam, boo, 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 ba, 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 boo, 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 boo. If they come copying of it, you know the song, Phil?
Yes, I don't know what the lyrics are, but I know the song.
All right. In that song is Tony's hope. He's reaching out, as he tells Riff, I'm reaching out for something new. His hope is there. And when I get little Jonathan on stage, I said, give me the hope, Jonathan. Give me the hope. Give me the dreams. Give me, you know, give it to me. And he's so, oh, Mrs. Gray, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm tired. I'm hungry. He won't push himself.
But he's 10, and 10 is very, very young. When you're asking...
Phil, I have a 10-year-old. Jason Jay. You know my son, Jason?
Yes, I do. He's a great kid. And I know that he does some professional acting. I don't think it's fair for you, you know, to compare him...
Phil, Jason Jay can do this part. But no, they gave it over to this boy, Jonathan Barnard, because he's the son of... He's the son of one of our assistant principals. I said, all right, okay, I'll work with the kid. All right, okay, even though my son is a professional actor, has been in a number of television commercials, I'll go with the kid, this Barnard kid. But you better give me 100%. Today we're rehearsing, there's a place for us. You know the song I'm talking about?
Yes.
All right. We've got a beautiful little Latin girl. Her name is Cynthia Ruiz. She's in the ninth grade. She's a nine-year-old in the fourth grade. She plays the part of Maria. There's a place for us. I needed some passion out of the boy because there's not only the heartfelt longing of leaving the ghetto, there is also the need to be romantic and passionate, and the boy doesn't get it.
And well, what about the girl? She's 9 years old.
She's good. I like her. She's Latin. She's dark-skinned, the very dark, the nice dark moo-cow eyes. She's very lissome, and she's got a wonderful singing voice. She's got the Latin passion and the Latin profile that I need. But this kid, Jonathan Bard, I said, give it to me. Go, Jonathan, go. And it's coming up. There's a place for us somewhere. He's not giving us film.
Well, I'll tell you something. You're mounting, as you said, something that is quite complex, something that has been on Broadway for many years, something that a film was made of. West Side Story is a modern tale of the city blight, romance, racism. There's a lot of stuff going on there, and I just wonder if you're asking too much.
Well, Phil, I tried to get the parents involved in this. I asked them, because we're opening with this on January 7th, a Friday night, in our student hall. And I have asked the parents for 2 extra hours of rehearsal time a night. That would mean from 5 o'clock to 7. I'm getting some cooperation, and I'm not getting cooperation from others. And I told those parents who don't want to commit the kids to this project, you know, this is not some kind of a Mickey Rooney, Judy Garland number. We're not doing Let's Put on a Show in the Barn. Okay.
We're not, Margaret.
Well, hold on, Phil. We're not doing Charlie Brown's Christmas. We're doing West Side Story. You commit the child till 7 p.m. If you don't, we get someone else. We get someone else. I will not be a part of some half-assed mounting of West Side Story. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
And well, how is the response? So some of the parents are letting you keep the kids for longer time.
Yeah, and some of them are, oh, they need to come home, they need to eat dinner with the family. I'm saying, if not us, who? If not now, when? You want to baby your kid? You want Junior to go out and do whatever it is, a little play there at summer camp? You go ahead. Don't waste my time. And I'm really, it's tough, Phil. It really is very, very tough.
How many kids are in the cast?
We have 97.
97 kids in a cast. They're dancing, they're singing, and they're acting.
You got your damn right. They're dancing their asses off, singing their asses off, and they're going to act their asses off for me, or they're going to know the reason why. I was on the sound stages of Hollywood, Phil. I was up for the part of Audra in Big Valley. I've been there. I know what it takes. My son, Jason J. Delmonico, he understands. The rest of these kids are going to come along. Because this is my vision. And I'm very excited about it. For the first time in many years, I'm really, really excited about this. And I'll tell you, Phil...
All right, hold on here, Margaret, and let's talk a little bit more about this, okay? Oh, my only concern is that you're asking major pieces of acting from 9- and 10-year-olds. You're also West Side Story. I can't wait to hear what you got to say about choreographing that thing. This is Margaret Gray. She's a journalist. She is returning to her roots in the theater. She's directing a production of West Side Story featuring 4th and 5th graders from her son's elementary school. And she's a little frustrated. She can't get the extra rehearsal time out of them. Apparently, her lead player, the kid who plays Tony, a little 5th-grade boy, is not hitting all of the emotional notes that he needs to for a very complex part. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Do you think the ages of 9 and 10 are a little young for West Side Story? Do you think the ages of 9 and 10 are a little young to be asking these very emotional things from children that self-conscious, from people that young? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I just talked to our illustrious vice president of syndication, David Hall. Our trend went up. Remember yesterday I said we went in the toilet? Because I didn't know. I was just assuming. I always assume the worst. And apparently we went up. So what are we, back to number one again? Not that anybody cares. Not that anybody would accurately report that. But I think the term is kicked ass again. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray on the line with us from Santa Monica. You know, Margaret, we're talking about kids.
Phil, we're talking about children. We're also talking about aspiring performers. They want to do better. And you were mentioning choreography. I worked with 5 young girls, 10-year-olds today. We were trying to get the dance scene on the roof when the Puerto Rican boys and girls are meeting, and they sing the song, I Want to Live in America.
That's a famous one.
Yes. I want to live in America. Okay by me? You know. All right, back step, kick, kick, back step, then a plie, another plie, pirouette, a leaping split, back step. Now, that sounds very complicated. And
well, just listening to it, it sounds very complicated.
But, when you are repeating the moves over and over and over again, anyone should be able, by rote, to get that. Now, Phil, I'm a dancer. I don't know how many people you have listening to your program tonight that are dancers. But I will tell you, it's doable. Back step, side, side, leaping split, then the plie.
The kids couldn't get it.
The kids couldn't get it because the parents want them home for dinner. And they have to go to the bathroom. And they're crying because they skinned their knee. And all the other excuses I've heard so many times before. So
well, I want to talk to some people, and I may be one of those yuppie, touchy-feely, modern baby boomer parents, but I think you're asking a little much. of the kids. That's my impression. Ridgecrest on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm listening and thinking Miss Margaret Gray is kind of nuts because I've got two kids. They're 8 and 10 years old.
Well, just because your children can't do it doesn't mean that it's not doable.
And I'm thinking that kids are probably doing this or interested in it because they're interested in, you know, something that's a little bit different, some type of acting, and she is going to take any interest they have in doing this in the future completely away.
Well, no. I mean, if you're talking about acting and dancing, it is repetition, it is practice, it is rehearsal.
That has nothing to do with what I just said.
The sooner a child understands that acting and performing means repetition and rehearsal, that the sooner that child decides whether it's for him or not.
Okay, well...
All right, and I don't know about your children. Maybe they're ready for this, maybe they're not.
You're not asking them to work into this thing and see if they enjoy it. You're demanding perfection.
If you're going to
right
know the
off the bat,
like
which is unacceptable
Story.
For kids.
These are very young kids.
But if you are going to do a production like West Side Story,
then don't do a production like West Side Story.
Why not? Why not shoot for the stars? Why not shoot
for the stars when you've got kids who have defined the fact that they actually want to do this?
Hey, isn't this a production, Margaret? Isn't this a production, West Side Story? Isn't this more for teenagers? I mean, at the very least, 14, 15, 16-year-old kids that...
You know, I'm talking to a couple of men who shoot so low in their lives, don't you?
You know what?
You know, no, seriously.
This, lady, you're not doing this for the kids. You're doing this for you.
I'm doing this, yes, to do
a... That's correct.
No,
that's the bottom line, and you're going to use these kids for some ulterior motive that you have to prove that you can take 5 and 10 year old or 8 and 10 year old kids and
I
turn
have
them
a vision.
Into something that they
have
are not.
I have a vision of West Side Story.
You keep saying I,
yes,
and
I
me,
have...
me.
What is this about? Is it about the kids, or is it about your vision?
It is about mounting a classic presentation of West Side Story and teaching very young actors and dancers how to do it right out of the gate as opposed to letting them stumble and fall throughout their professional lives.
Mrs. Gray, do you know any theater people who have emotional problems because of the pressures that they're under?
I know an awful lot of theater people who are very, very well put together. Billy Crystal is a wonderful family man.
That wasn't my question, ma'am.
Well, you're asking me to point up the flaws. I'm showing
I'm asking
you,
a very specific question.
Yes.
If you know very many theater folks who have emotional and mental problems due to the pressures that they're under to do well in the theater.
And guess what? I know plumbers like that, too. And I know insurance salesmen like that, too.
You don't know
and
plumbers
I know,
like that,
and
lady.
Whatever profession you're in, there's plenty of those people in your profession as well. Guess what? It's life. Deal with
want,
it.
And you
deal with life. Deal with the
severities
and the balderdash of life. I want these kids to get up off of their rear ends, get up off of their lazy little rear ends.
Any emotional problems.
And
that is amazing.
If you know anything about the theater, then you know that's what it demands. It's my vision of West Side Story.
Your vision.
I do.
What about your vision? What about these kids?
Phil, I have a vision.
I know you have
and
a vision.
And it will be realized. Whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not.
At the expense of kids. That's amazing.
Whether you like it or not, it will be realized.
At the expense
yeah.
of those
so
kids.
So these kids turn into raging alcoholics?
At 10, I don't think so.
Oh, we've got 10-year-olds making rifles and shooting kids.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Phil Henry Show.
Oh, my God.